Welcome to Verse and Voice, the Daily Breadcast.
Great to be diving in again.
Today, we're zooming in, really focusing on just one specific chapter in Genesis chapter 5.
That's right.
Now, at first glance, it might just look like, you know, a list of names, a genealogy.
Yeah, just a family tree, basically.
But honestly, as we get into it, you'll see there are some really fascinating details packed in here. It raises some pretty big questions about, well, the early story of humanity as it's presented right here in this text.
Exactly. And for this deep dive, we are sticking only to Genesis chapter 5. That's our source material today, along with maybe recalling bits from chapters 1 and 2 for context.
Right, just for background.
We'll be looking closely at the names, obviously, but also these incredible lifespans mentioned, and sort of exploring what they might suggest within the framework of this chapter itself.
Okay, so let's jump in. We've had the creation stories, Adam and Eve, and then bam, Genesis 5 lays out this lineage, starting naturally with Adam.
Right. Verse 3 tells us Adam was 130 years old when he fathered Seth. And then the text says he lived another 800 years after Seth was born.
Which brings his total lifespan, according to Genesis 5, to 930 years.
930, yeah. And it also adds that little detail. He fathered other sons and daughters.
So a life spanning almost a millennium, just based on this chapter's account. And then the pattern really kicks in with his descendants. We see Seth.
Seth lived 912 years, according to chapter 5. And he fathered Enosh.
Still incredibly long, though just slightly shorter than Adam's lifespan in this record. Interesting.
It is, yeah. And the pattern continues. Enosh, moving through Genesis 5, lived 905 years, then fathered Kenan.
Okay.
After that, Kenan lived 910 years and fathered Mahalalel. It's this very specific structure, name, aged fatherhood, remaining years, total lifespan, and, well, usually the final part.
Right, that constant rhythm. Mahalalel then lived 895 years and fathered Jared. We're just marching down this line presented in Genesis 5.
And Jared's lifespan here is, well, it's the longest one we've seen so far in this list. He hits 962 years. And after living that long, he fathered Enoch. And this is where Genesis 5 really throws us a curveball, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. Because with Enoch, verse 23 says he lived 365 years, which compared to the others here is actually quite short.
Relatively speaking, yes. Very short.
But then, unlike everyone else listed in this chapter, it doesn't say, and he died.
No. Verse 24 gives us that really unique statement. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away.
God took him. That just, it stands out dramatically against the backdrop of all these other long lives that end in death within this chapter. It makes you really wonder what that means right here in Genesis 5.
It certainly does. A real deviation from the pattern. Then, after Enoch, we get Methuselah.
Ah, the famous one.
Right, famous for his age in this chapter.
Yeah.
Genesis 5 records his lifespan as the longest of them all, 969 years.
969. It's almost impossible to grasp.
It really is. And Methuselah then fathered Lamech.
So Lamech comes next. Genesis 5 says he lived 777 years. A sort of notable number, maybe.
Perhaps. 777 years. And he fathered Noah. And there's that interesting comment Lamech makes right here in chapter 5 about Noah bringing relief.
Yeah, relief from their labor and painful toil, linked back to the ground, cursed by God from Genesis 3. But it's recorded here, tied specifically to Noah's birth in this genealogy.
Exactly. It grounds Noah's significance right within this lineage. And finally, Genesis 5 wraps up this section with Noah himself.
Who lived, according to this chapter, 950 years. Another incredibly long life.
Mm-hmm. And it mentions he fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth, which obviously sets the stage for what comes later. But within chapter 5, it's the culmination of this line.
So, okay, let's talk about these lifespans. 930, 912, 969, 950. These are obviously vastly different from human lifespans today.
Absolutely undeniable.
Now, we're not trying to make, you know, definitive scientific claims here, but just looking at the text of Genesis 5 itself, what could these huge numbers signify within this specific narrative?
That's the key question, isn't it? Within the context of this ancient text. Some might suggest, looking back maybe at Genesis 1 and 2, that perhaps these long lives reflect a different state of humanity, maybe something closer to creation's original condition.
Like a lingering effect of that very good state mentioned back in Genesis 1.31, perhaps, a sort of initial vitality.
That a possible reading connecting the themes? Genesis 5 doesn't explicitly say life got shorter because of X, but the sheer scale of these lives listed here compared to later figures certainly suggests a different era or condition being described in this specific chapter.
Yeah, it paints a picture of a very different world. And then there's that phrase that echoes throughout chapter 5.
And he died.
Exactly. It appears after almost every single person listed here. Adam lived 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 912 years, and he died. Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Methuselah, Lamech.
And he died.
The repetition is powerful, isn't it? Even amidst these incredible lifespans documented in Genesis 5.
It really underscores the eventual mortality. It hammers home that despite living for centuries, according to this record, death was the common end for all these figures in the lineage.
With that one glaring exception.
With the one, very significant exception of Enoch. Which makes his story, his being taken by God, stand out even more starkly within this chapter's narrative.
So it emphasizes both the extraordinary length of life possible in that time, according to this text, and the ultimate reality of death for nearly everyone. What do you think the impact of that repetition, "and he died," is meant to be on someone reading Genesis 5?
Well, I think it creates a kind of solemn rhythm. It reminds the reader that even these patriarchs, these foundational figures in the lineage, were subject to the human condition of mortality, as understood by the text. It sets a baseline, perhaps, against which life and Enoch's unique departure are measured within this chapter.
It's quite a contrast. These almost mythic lifespans contained within Genesis 5, paired with the undeniable finality of death stated over and over, it definitely makes you reflect on life and its limits.
And thinking just about Genesis 5, you see these incredibly long lives. The chapter itself doesn't detail a sharp decline, but there are variations. Adam 930, Seth 912, Enosh 905. Then Jared hits 962, Methuselah 969. Lamech drops back to 777, Noah 950. It's not a simple straight line down, even within the chapter.
Right. It's not like each generation is automatically shorter. There's fluctuation even within these huge numbers specific to this chapter.
Exactly. Which adds another layer to just thinking about what these numbers represent in this text.
Okay, so wrapping up our deep dive into just Genesis chapter 5, it's clearly much more than a simple list.
Oh, definitely.
It's presented as a specific record, a slice of early human history through this particular lineage, and it's characterized by, well, frankly, mind-boggling longevity.
Absolutely.
And also the inescapable fact of death for nearly every single person named here.
That sums it up well. It's a snapshot of this specific lineage with these remarkable features.
So here's a final thought maybe for our listeners to chew on specifically from Genesis 5. What does this genealogical record, just as it's presented here, with these almost unbelievable numbers and that unique case of Enoch, what does it invite us to consider? Mm. What questions does it raise about how this text portrays the nature of life, the reality of death, and maybe humanity's early relationship with the divine, purely based on the details within Genesis chapter 5 itself?
That's the provocation, isn't it? Forget everything else for a moment and just sit with this chapter. The numbers, the rhythm, the exception. What does this specific text seem to be suggesting about those fundamental things, life, death, and God, in that early period it describes? It's definitely something worth pondering.